Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody else, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. Welcome to another members episode. Before we get to the business, Merkel Films and MerkMerch.com is where you can get your good stuff today. We have MerkMerch.com, and that is where you can get your apparel. We were just in Dallas at the warehouse, and they were printing off new designs. Coming soon, if you're on social media, you might have seen what is coming. Also, MerkelFilms.com is where we have our on-demand streaming, and we have a new short documentary coming from Triangle Multimedia. They have released a short documentary called The Sierra Sounds, A Prelude. This is going to be a small documentary coming before a much larger documentary talking about Ron Moorhead's Sierra Sounds and him revisiting the Ground Zero location where he recorded those things. Available right now at MerkelFilms.com. Now, today we have Jen on X. I call her Jen on X. Her name's Jen, but I found her on X. So here she is, Jen on X. And we've had her on the show before talking about when she was a kid and how she was actually taken to the Epstein Island. And today she comes back on the show to talk more about her experiences. And she requested that this be a members only show because she's a little nervous talking about some of the things because she has never talked about them publicly. So let's get to Jen and her experiences right now. All right, today we have a returning guest. Jen, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing good. To get disclosure out to you and the audience, I have a contractor here working on my office space, and he's painting right now, so he should be good, but he is in the hallway painting right outside the studio. So if there's a bang, I'm not getting shot. The roof isn't collapsing. He just probably tripped over something. I redid the studio and the in-person studio. And now what we're doing is, when I moved into this place, it was lime green wall paneling, and it was terrible. And some people see pictures like, oh, that's awesome. You should have kept it. It was unique. I'm like, that's not the unique I'm looking for. And so I spent a lot of time when I first moved in here renovating, putting sheetrock up, and the wall behind me didn't exist. It went right into my office. And so we did that. And now what we're doing is we're painting the hallway from just the paneling to a white to brighten it up. And we just renovated the bathroom, and I replaced the vanity that was probably from the 70s, and you know, the toilet was probably that old too. So I'm slowly kind of renovating to make it look good in here, because what prompted it was I have some in-studio guests coming that are ladies, and I just was like starting to feel like what happened. Here's what happened. And we'll get to your story here in a second. Let me just get this off my chest, because I got to talk to somebody about it. What happened was I was considering moving out of here into another facility, and the hair salon next door, the owner came over because she wanted to see what I had here, because she might want to turn it into a spa. And she was walking through it with her husband, and she comes by my office and she goes, "Just to let you know, your bathroom is disgusting." And I was like, "Yeah, I know, but it's just a bunch of guys. Why do I need to renovate it?" You know? And then next week I have two ladies coming in separate times, and they, you know, I don't know what got me thinking about it. I was just like, ladies, they're going to be on camera. They want to go freshen up or something. And, you know, you don't want some nasty 1970s sink that's one leg's falling off and it has dry paint on it from the last time I painted. And I was just like, I should probably clean this up a little bit. So that's what's going on right now. He's been doing some great work and stuff. He's a guy from my church. So anyways, you are returning. I just wasted like 2 minutes, 3 minutes on that, but it's okay. You're a returning guest. We had you on for episode 658. I called it Surviving Epstein Island. You came on to talk about your memories and experience dealing with trafficking and in your own life, and how you were on that island at one point in your childhood. And you hit me up on X, and I call you Jen on X. And, that's not your handle, right? It can't be your handle.
It's a CT Survivor 17 is my handle. Gotcha. On X.
Okay. CT Survivor 17. I call you Jen on X. And, it's funny that it's in the description, and I did that on the calendar. So I remember where you and I connected, because there's so many Jens in the world. You reached out and you said that you have some other things you'd like to share, that you've never talked about openly with an audience, and you're not exactly sure how it's going to be perceived. In fact, to the point that even before we started recording, you said there might be things that you need to chop out that people aren't ready for. I really have a hard time believing that. Like, I don't know what you have for me today, but I feel like the audience is pretty well adept to how bizarre and bad things can get in the world. But anyways, you had asked and requested that this be, you know, a more select audience. So we're putting this up for our members, and I'm just here to guide the conversation. So that's as far as I know. So the audience listening right now, I have no idea what we're talking about. So with that said, Jen, it's on you. Let's do this.
Right. I can kind of start at the beginning I'll start at the beginning. I was adopted as an infant by a couple in New York who sold me throughout my childhood. I was frequently boated to islands off of Long Island to be experimented on as a child. So I would be brought into, facilities where, for example, this one particular facility that I went to fairly frequently, I would walk in, I'd get off the boat onto the dock, and then the dock would lead to a small little sand, I guess kind of sandbar. You would walk across the sand, and on both sides, there were weeds on each side, kind of making like a hallway. And I would walk down into a facility down the stairs, and on the way to the room that I would usually be brought, there was actually a hallway that was lined with animals. So they would have I remember they used to have wolves on the bottom cages. It was like a shelves of animals, and they had wolves on the bottom. There was like a group of, I think, three wolves over here, and then there was a bigger one over here. And I remember I used to go into the facility, and I used to go over I couldn't play with him, the big one, but I used to go over the big one, and I used to like kind of talk to him, try and give him attention, like pet him through the glass, stuff like that. And I'd be brought into a room where sometimes they would put me on a medical table, essentially. And I don't remember exactly what they did to me, but I remember that I would disassociate. And most of the time when I was on this table, there was a window that was high up. And I used to watch the moon go across the sky while they were abusing me. And because we were out on, and it was, I didn't know at the time that it wasn't common, but I also spent a lot of time looking at the moon to see lights coming to and from the moon and stuff like that, that weren't, you know, natural. And I used to kind of play a game to see how many ships went to or from the moon on any particular day, and stuff like that.
So hold on a second. What ships? What are we talking about with ships?
Part of when I would be brought to, part of what would happen to me and the experimentation later on was I would go to my friend's house and the backyard. He also had a boat that sometimes I would take the islands, I would go out to the islands. So his house also, they would literally have, I don't like to use the term triangle because when people think of the triangle shaped craft, they think of the one that flies like this. But the one that would come down to come and pick us up frequently was shaped more like this. And what it would do is it would come down from the sky and land to the ground, and the door on the inside would fold down. And we would climb up the door. And I remember one thing I used to do was whenever I'd get on the ship is I would jump up and down because it used to make this weird whooshing noise when the weight adjusted. So I like to jump up and down and hear the weird noise. And then the door would fold up and then we would fly up and go wherever we were going. So when I was in these facilities, I would look at the moon to see if I would ever see any of these travel crafts going to or from the moon. So that was also a fairly frequent occurrence.
Wow. So, all right. When you're at the facility, you're looking for that. And that was like a distraction piece, I imagine.
That's what I would disassociate to.
So I want to kind of walk backwards on this, but I do want to kind of get some clarification. So you're saying when you would go on this this craft, where would it go again? To the moon?
Various places. I don't always know where it went. From what I remember, some of them had the capability to go to the moon. However, a lot of them would bring us to other locations, like over the water. I remember there were a lot of times we would be brought out over the water and land on something in the middle of the ocean. That was the only way I can really explain as a submarine is we would go into, we would land on it and then we'd be able to climb into it. We would go into it and then sometimes it would go, you know, wherever under the ocean. Sometimes we would go into caves. Sometimes there were, on the ocean floor, it looks, the only way I can explain is like a bunch of tubes connecting or pipes connecting with like main pod areas randomly placed throughout the connections and stuff like that. And sometimes you would come in underneath, there would be like holes in the bottom of the center areas and the submarine would come up under the hole. Or sometimes if I would be swimming in the ocean just on any normal day, they would have something that would grab our ankles and pull us under the water. And there were times that we would be brought up into one of these underwater pods. And I remember waking up a few times, there would be other kids there that were all either unconscious or coughing, spitting up water. And then if a child died, then, you know, one of the people there would kick the child back into the water. Sometimes the child was dead. Sometimes they were just non-responsive. Hmm.
So, all right. Are they then in this scene, are they doing experimentation then underneath the water?
It depends on what, various things we would be brought there. In these particular facilities, they would be more along the lines of, what I would call missions. They would have assignments for us to do, and you would have to take care of certain assignments.
Hmm. So are we talking, we're talking like more like MK Ultra type programs?
Somewhat. I don't know how to classify them, because I know that MK Ultra was branched off into a lot of different other programs and stuff like that, but something similar.
And what time frame are we talking about here, like years wise, like the 90s?
Probably early to mid 90s.
Early to mid 90s?
I was born in 87, so it was probably kindergarten, first grade years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm 85, so I'm thinking like the culture back in the 90s. I know the whole MK Ultra, soft disclosure of MK Ultra, theoretically, Clinton was talking about it, but... When you look back at that video, I do wonder if he was actually even talking about MK Ultra. But anyways, so all right, so you're talking about subterranean work and how that whole thing, you know, is operating. It does have a lot of reminiscent storylines to what we're dealing with today, where they're talking about the disclosure and how these things are underneath water and they're coming up and all that kind of stuff. So with that, do you feel like what you were involved in is something that maybe what we're seeing today, where it's like, you know, these crafts are coming out of water and they're USOs was unidentified submerged objects. So like, do you think that that's what was going on down there? Like two in the same, or do you think it was two different operations?
Honestly, I'm not really paying attention to the drone stuff, because what little I've seen, it looks like, you know, it looked to me, my opinion, it looks like a distraction. It looks like, you know, low quality, you know, drones up there to frighten people and freak people out. What I'm used to, and I've heard that there's some of them are like 20 feet long. That might be something. That might be something legitimate. But so far, the ones that I've seen that have been like crashed on cars and stuff like that, I personally don't believe that they have anything to do with what I was in. But if these supposed 20 feet ones that are you know, flying around the size of buses, then that might be something different.
Mm, yeah. Okay, so let's start walking backwards here with some of the things you first started out with. And first of all, let me get some clarification. I'm assuming you haven't shared the part that you feel people would be uncomfortable with yet.
I'm there.
Oh, you're there. So what? Let me ask you then. What part of it do you feel people would be unable to accept?
As we progress, I mean, the traveling off the planet is difficult for a lot of people to handle, you know, that kind of stuff. And then there's another situation where I stowed away and went somewhere I wasn't supposed to. I've also, I did talk about this with one person, but I asked her to cut it out. I believe I've traveled to different, timelines. Stuff like that. One of the hardest things for me to process is my trip to Egypt.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm going to poke at it and you just let me know if I should stop poking. But we're going to jump into that stuff here in a second, but I definitely want to, kind of walk backwards here on some of the other things you mentioned. So let's start off with your childhood with the adoption. And we might have talked about this in the first one and I just don't remember, but where are your adoptive parents today? Are they still in your life?
No, my adoptive mother is up in New York. My adoptive father has since fled the country. He's currently residing in Ecuador, where there is no extradition treaty.
And he fled because of the things he did with you?
I believe so, because when I was a child, he was arranging the adoptions of children from Haiti. He worked for McKinsey and Company. He did landscaping work. Right now, from what I understand, he's importing fruit from Ecuador. So he's doing, you know, shipping and all that kind of stuff overseas. And
that's, isn't that the typical, like, that's the typical like bad guy memo. Oh, I do exporting, importing, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. What does that mean? Jeez. Wow. Okay. So do you have any idea who your biological parents are?
There is what I've been told and what I remember.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today.